We have overcome. And I want to go to the book of Revelation and go to chapter 12. Revelation is a fantastic book. It's the end of the Bible, and it tells beautiful, beautiful things, one of which is embedded in chapter 12, verse 10 and 11. And in the context of this, it breaks down my outline. Now I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, Who is the I? This is John. He's on the Isle of Patmos, and Jesus has revealed some things to him about the end of the age. And a loud voice in heaven says, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. Those are powerful things. The power, the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down. He who accuses them before our God day and night. This expresses the finality of the ultimate vanquish, Satan, who has fallen from heaven like lightning, Satan, who is Lucifer, who was bright and morning star, perfected in wisdom, who apparently with free will chose to rebel against God and has generated rebellion ever since, who's called the accuser of the brethren, and ultimately is going to be cast aside for eternity. Hallelujah. And it says in verse 11, and they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb, because of the word of their testimony, and they did not love their life even when they faced death. Overcoming, number one, because of the blood of the Lamb. Without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sin. Life is in the power of the blood. Jesus shed his blood as a sacrifice to pay the penalty. It's not only symbolic, it's substantial, that when his blood was shed and he paid that atoning price, our sins not only are covered, they've been taken away. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. This is pretty liberating when you've been bound and enslaved in sin, and the wages and results of sin is eternal separation from God and death, certain doom. So then Jesus takes this amazing step of love, and he sheds his blood for us. Greater love has no man than this, than he lay down his life for his friends. And he said, you're my friends if you keep my commandments, and my commandments are not burdensome. They overcame also because of the word of their testimony. There's power in the blood. There's power in the word. And before that, the authority of Christ, the name of Jesus. There are three things I want to bring over to you about the power tools we have embedded in us, the authority that's been given to us. The name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, and the word of our God. Everybody say the name of Jesus. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that he's the Lord. The name of Jesus is such a powerful name. God told Mary, you'll call his name Jesus, and he'll save their people from their sins. His name means salvation. His name is powerful. In fact, I want you to go to the book of Acts, the 3rd chapter and the 16th verse, and I'll show you what the disciples, the early church, did with this powerful name. Wow. They were given authority. They had practiced this in the book of Luke, the 10th chapter. He sent out the 70, and he said, behold, I give you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means harm you. That's good news, man. The early church had authority. You have authority. Understand your authority. Recognize your authority. He said he had authority, and he gave it. It's delegated authority. The 70 returned with joy after he sent them out. So, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. Jesus said, I was watching Satan fall from heaven like lightning. He said, behold, I've given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Okay, so Peter and John get a hold of this, and they're going to pray. The book of Acts is just what happened in between prayer meetings. That's all. It's just the recorded history of the church doing its work, empowered by the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood of Jesus, and by the power of the word of God. They took it out, and they were going. A man that was destitute, he was laying at the gate beautiful all his life, begging alms, somebody that was debilitated by the circumstances of life. And Peter and John said, when he was expecting to receive something from them, gold and silver have we not, but what we do have, we give to you. Verse 6, what we do have, we give. You can't give what you don't have. And in most cases, when we are in ignorance, the people perish for lack of knowledge. My goal to teach tonight is to help you to understand what Jesus has provided. That in fact, 1 John chapter 5 says, "Who has overcome the world but he that believes Jesus is the Son of God?" I'm speaking to the ranks of the overcomers. I'm preaching to people who have been empowered. In the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus asked Peter, "Who do you say that I am?" And he said, "You're Christ, the Son of the living God." And he said, "Man, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. Flesh and blood hasn't revealed this to you, but my Father who's in heaven has revealed this to you." There's a spirit of wisdom and revelation all around about you right now. The Holy Spirit is our teacher, and he's leading and guiding you into all the truth. And one of the great things that I feel he's reinforcing right now for you is what Jesus said later on in Matthew chapter 16. He said, "And I'm giving you the keys to the kingdom of heaven, that whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." This is foreign to a lot of Christians. And this is largely misunderstood by a lot of Christians. But apparently Peter and John got a hold of it to the point where they said, "Hey, we don't have any money on us, guy begging alms, but what we do have, we give you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk." They understood something about the name of Jesus. And my goal tonight is to help you to understand that all of heaven's provision is funneled into that name of Jesus. It's remarkable. It's the name above every name. It's the name given to us. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. This name should be cherished, prized, and honored. And in the kingdom of God, we must learn to value the power of the name of Jesus. Because look what happened. This guy certainly benefited from it. And the guys that spoke it certainly understood the power and potency of it. They were name dropping. They were some of the original name droppers. Only they weren't dropping a name to show off who they knew or any such thing. They were implementing the power of the name of Jesus because they wanted to see this guy get set free. And Jesus had brought overcoming power to Peter and John. It radicalized their lives. And it became contagious for them. And they learned to be overcomers, and then they wanted it to spread. And so they saw this guy, and they said, "In the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, walk." And seizing him by the right hand, he raised him up, and immediately his feet and his ankles were strengthened. And I love this verse. "And with a leap, he stood upright and began to walk. And he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God." I don't know why. Every time I read that, I think of lions and tigers and bears. Oh, my. It just feels that way. Walking and leaping and praising God. That's the first thing I think about. I've watched too many movies. But the idea of a guy who couldn't walk and then he's walking, that ministers to me, man. I love that stuff. It makes me have my head up expecting the miraculous. But you know, it's not just random and it's not just arbitrary. Listen, God's miracle power is available for all of us all the time, 24/7, 365. "And you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you." He said, "Behold, I give you authority." Believers have authority. There's power that works toward us who believe. It gets better. Listen to this. The creepy religious people were all upset about this guy being healed. And then in verse 16 it says, and I love this. It says, "On the basis of faith in his name." That's why I'm preaching this right now. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony. We love not our lives unto death. The word of our testimony is about Christ and his kingdom and what he has bestowed and conferred upon us and the authority that is embedded in us as believers. And on the basis of faith in his name, it is the name of Jesus which has strengthened this man. Read that again. It is the name of Jesus which has strengthened this man. That's my testimony. It is the name of Jesus that has strengthened this man. It was the name of Jesus that got a hold of Peter and John and forever changed their lives. It's the name of Jesus that has come thundering into this room that changes everything. His very name means salvation to his people. That whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. I've told people at the deathbed, at hospitals, who were indifferent and were not involved with serving God, that even in their last breath, you can call upon the name of Jesus from your heart and you can be saved. Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus, it's the name above every name. I pray to the Father in Jesus' name. It is our power tool. I like tools. I like chainsaws. They're so cool, man. They got teeth on them. They cut through trees. And I've watched people at Service International take chainsaws, cut big old trees off of people's houses and pathways. I remember one house, the people couldn't get in or out of their house because of a big tree. Chainsaws came along and moved. And then I like bobcats. I like bobcats and chainsaws. Bobcats come cruising in. They're like Tonka trucks, only bigger and better. And people move stuff out of the way. I like the jaws of life. It freaks me out that firemen and EMT workers can come in and pull people out of wreckage and pull metal off of people. That's a cool power tool, man. I want one of those. I like these heat detector things that a fireman showed me. We had our chimney fire, and the guy was aiming this thing at the wall, and I said, "What is that?" And it was so cool. He was showing me all this infrared sensor stuff. Oh, I got to have one of those. We have a Navy SEAL in the church. I'd like to have those night vision goggles. Those things are so cool, man. So I'd like to be driving a bobcat, wielding a chainsaw, wearing night vision goggles with the jaws of life, helping out the world. Don't you think you can make a difference with that kind of equipment? I think that it's important that we understand that when these guys said, "Such as we have, we give." In fact, please, let's look at Matthew chapter 16, because I don't think I did it justice, and I think it's important, if you brought your Bible, to look at this. I think you need to get a hold of this, because there was an amazing delegated authority that has come to us through Jesus, and the accuser does not want you to be informed of this. He does not want you to be aware of this, and he wants you, if you do know it, to lose sight of it through the difficulties of life. Can I tell you, worries and cares choke the word and make it unfruitful? And that some of you and I, we, us that have started, we need to learn to finish strong. And along the way, there will be many temptations, tests, and trials. And one of the great strengtheners that came through the early church to the church, when they went back to Lystra and the churches, they encouraged them that through much tribulation, you enter the kingdom of heaven. So we just are realists here. So we need the jaws of life. We need night vision goggles. We need the chainsaws. We need the word of God. We need the blood of the Lamb. We need the power of the name of Jesus. And we need to understand. He said, on the basis of faith in his name, this man is made whole. I remember a woman that was in our church who got saved. 6 months later, she was sitting in a meeting. She all of a sudden heard people. She said, "How rude that they're talking while the pastor's preaching." And then it occurred to her that she actually could hear through her ear that she had been hit by lightning and it was all fused together and she could not hear. So she went to the doctor. And the doctor hung the thing in her ear and had her for hours. He said, "How can you hear?" She said, "Because Jesus healed me." And he said, "It is impossible." And he kept looking at her ear. Apparently, it didn't physically change inside. And yet, he tested her and retested her and tested her and retested her. And he was frustrated and he was bewildered. And after hours, she said he closed off all the rest of his appointments and just tried to study this. And at the end, he said, "What time is church?" Signs and wonders attest to how marvelous Jesus is. And when that guy was walking and leaping and praising God, lions and tigers and bears, oh my, there was a buoyancy about him that was a sign and a wonder to the people around him. That religious oppression that tries to come on you and me has got to stop in Jesus' name. We need to banish that winter blues. We need to get away from any kind of oppression. If you've been offended by people, join the club. Forgive everybody. Get over it. Move forward. That's maturity. Don't get stuck. But listen, settle in on how magnificent and powerful the name of Jesus is. Look what he says here in Matthew chapter 16. He says, "I will build my church. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. I will give you the keys." Look at this. Please hear this. "I will give you..." Now, who is the I in this sentence? Jesus, exactly. And who is the you? Now, he's addressed Peter, correct? Now expand that. He's addressing the disciples. He's addressing the early church. He's addressing believers. This is not exclusive upon Peter alone. This is for all of us. And I remember when our family took a vacation to Morro Bay, the Morro Bay Rock up by San Luis Obispo in Southern California. My dad took me to the driver's ed. I went in and I passed my test, my written test, and I got my learner's permit. And on my way back to the car, my dad threw me the keys. And I mean, it was slow motion. It might as well have been like with a soundtrack. He threw the keys, and I remember to this day, my little skinny teenage arm reaching up and grabbing the keys and then driving the highway systems up through Southern California with my dad and my family. It's a rite of passage when a teenager gets the keys flipped to him by dad. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You remember when you got the keys to the car? Does anybody remember that? Oh, yeah. Even to this day, communities symbolically confer authority by having ceremonies where they give the key to the city to certain people. And what are they saying by it? A key symbolizes authority, passage, honor, and access, and those types of things. When the keys were given to me by my dad, it liberated me into mobility, and it indicated to me that I was at a stage in life where I could assume additional responsibility. Here is what Jesus is transitioning. All authority of heaven and earth is given to him. It's downloaded into the name of Jesus. And he gives what he calls the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Instantly, authority is being conferred upon the disciples. In fact, he then warns the disciples. And so you see, he's speaking to Peter, he's speaking to the disciples that are there, and we are his disciples, and we have been given authority. And in fact, I know this because in Revelation, I just got through telling you, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, they love not their lives unto death. Quickly, 1 John chapter 5 says, whoever believes that Jesus is Christ is the Son of God, whoever loves the Father loves the child born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, and we love God and observe his commandments. And then it says, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Wow. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Remember what Acts 3:16 said. It was on basis of faith in the name of Jesus. The goal of my preaching is to stir your faith concerning the name of Jesus. That at the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, there's power in the name of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. We have police officers here. We have a lot of wonderful police officers. Have you ever been in traffic where they stand out there and they go like this? And they stop a whole column of SUVs and tractor trailers and motorcycles and cars just like that? You know why? Because they have authority. Do you think a cop could go like that in their own human power and stop all of traffic on Highway 40? No, but they've had power vested in them by nature of their inherent, their role and their job. Well, listen, Peter and John said, such as we have, we give. Stop, devil. And they seized him by the hand and said, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. There's more authority, there's more power, there's more intensity in the name, embedded in the name of Jesus than you and I are aware of. In fact, Satan does not want you guys to understand this. Because if you get this, when you call on the name of Jesus, when you speak in the name of Jesus, you'll drive places and you'll speak authoritatively in the name of Jesus. And we're not to use the name of the Lord in vain. That's taught in the Ten Commandments. So we don't use the name of the Lord in vain. That means that you can use it in a vain way, in a neutral, dull, insufficient way. They did not do that in Acts chapter 3. When they said, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk, they knew that was bigger than the key to the city, that was bigger than a dad flipping keys to the car, that was bigger than keys to a building or keys to a passageway or keys to a lock and dam or keys to a nation. Keys of heaven and earth, the keys of the kingdom, the keys of the kingdom. Have you ever had a key ring and you looked at the keys and didn't know what? You ever had, we've had a collection of keys and you get the ring of keys and go, Where? What? I wish I knew what doors these belong to. I think the church world is going, I've got the keys, but what? There's power in the name of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. His name is above every name. There's power in the name of Jesus. Please understand this. You have authority in the name of Jesus to heal the sick. Matthew chapter 10, he gave him authority to heal the sick. Lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Authority over demons. This goes in and out of popularity, but the fact of the matter is demons are disembodied evil spirits that lurk and try to hinder, and we have authority over them. I said we have authority over them. Power over unclean spirits is said in Matthew's gospel. Jesus had authority, and he's given it to us. We have authority. Hallelujah. Authority. To take authority over every evil force. I remember, a few years back, some guy moved into St. Louis, and he was a cult guy, and everybody got all up in arms. And for a period of time, I talked to another preacher. He said, everybody thinks their town is the center of all occult activity. And that was because everybody got all concerned with and overemphasizing demons. There was a period of time where there was an imbalance, an overemphasis on this, where people got preoccupied with demons under every bush. And it could go one way or the other, either too much emphasis or ignoring. And the real balance is demons do exist. It's not hocus pocus. We don't need to be preoccupied with them. We don't need to be light about it. We need to exert our authority and bind and loose and take authority over principalities, powers, and rulers of this darkness. That's why this is one of the implementations of the name of Jesus. The Bible says, having done all to stand, stand therefore with your loins girt about with truth, breastplate of righteousness, helmet of salvation, feet shod with the preparation of the gospel, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and the shield of faith with which we extinguish every flaming arrow of the devil. Listen, just this one point. Take the name of Jesus and extinguish the demonic flaming arrows trying to assail you right now. In the name of Jesus, I cast down every imagination. In the name of Jesus. And don't let the devil get you all worked up. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. It's not some mantra that you have to chant. It's not some name you invoke in some sort of ritualized way. I'm not urging you to superstition. I'm not urging you to nervous reaction. I'm simply equipping you with an awareness of Jesus giving you the keys. As realistically as my dad flipped me the keys that one day, I was able to learn how to drive. It's a transition for some of you. He says, behold, I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm you. That ought to get in your spirit. A good shepherd just gave you some power. Wow. Wow. Think about it. The King of the universe has given you the keys to unlock some things in people's lives. You have family issues. You're trying to figure out how to deal with people who aren't serving God, and you're trying to figure out what your responsibility is with them. Implement the name of Jesus in all of your prayer, in all of your conversation. Use the name of Jesus skillfully, authoritatively against all the issues of oppression and demonic torment. It will line things up. It'll actually deal with some of the dysfunction that's trying to dominate you right now. In the name of Jesus. Use the name of Jesus. Number two, plead the blood of Jesus. You've been covered by the blood of Jesus. We are overcomers by the blood of the Lamb. Because Jesus spilled his blood and paid this price, we're covered. We're covered. It's covered. It's a done deal. The price is paid. Hallelujah. You say, well, how do I wrap my head around that? There are people who are mocking and ignoring who Jesus is. And there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end of that way is death. And I've checked it out. Nobody gets out of this alive. So to blow this off, to develop a jaded cynicism, or even in the kingdom, my people perish for lack of knowledge. We've got to learn and relearn, rewire, get our minds renewed with the authority we have. So you teachers that you're going to school, you come in the name of Jesus. The Bible says, whatever you do, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. You workers, take authority in the name of Jesus. Plead the blood of Jesus over your school, your business, your office, the hospital, your factory, your nursing station, wherever you work. Carry the presence of God into your situation. There need to be more nurses that are filled with the Holy Spirit and aware, who can be led by the anointing of God. I know a janitor who helped a choking hockey player who was laying in his bed. What's the phrase when you, medical phrase, when you aspirate? What's it called? When you breathe in your own vomit. What's that called? There's a real gross term for it. What's it called? Choking on your own vomit. That's what it is. And somebody that was sweeping floors heard it. Doctors didn't hear it. Nurses didn't hear it. But this born-again, spirit-filled, flame-throwing, present, authoritative woman of God walked in there, turned him on his side, cleared his throat, and then went and got a nurse. Saved his life. Saved his life. I said, "Oh, Pastor Jeff, that's so rare." And no, listen, God wants to use you in a big way to do exploits, to be an intervener that stands in the gap, that makes up the hedge, that makes a difference in people's lives. Listen, you have no idea how many times God wants to manifest himself through his people. Get aware of it. That's why Peter and John, they were just going to pray. And this guy was there, and they fixed their gaze on him, said, "Such as we have, we give you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk." And they got results. See, this is what I love about signs and wonders, where God just does his God stuff. Because it's like, Jesus, that's you moving, man. That's not a bunch of man mojo. That's not Miracle Spring Water on sale for $9.99 and that type of thing. Please, seriously, this stuff's holy. That knee needed to be healed. That back needed to be healed. That oppression needed to lift. That unforgiveness needs to be dissolved. That spirit of fear needs to go. That addiction needs to quit holding on for so doggone long in people's lives. That's what I'm talking about. Depression, get off of that person in Jesus' name. Well, it's great to have all that power. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be my witness. You'll be my witness. I like Dritan. Dritan is being run out of town by the Serbs, and for, wasn't it 72 days? He tells his brother Yatan, "Here, read this literature, read this tract, please give your heart to Jesus." And he doesn't think he'll ever see his brother again. They reunited when the peace accord was written, and they came back together. This is Dritan, the pastor in Kosovo. He's a beautiful young guy on fire for Jesus. He ran back into Yatan, and he tells Yatan, "I prayed for you." When they reunited, "I prayed for you." And he said, "I prayed for you too, Dritan." And Dritan said, "What do you mean? What is this?" And he said, and he pulled out that crumpled tract that he had given him. And he said, "I asked Jesus into my heart, and I prayed for you." Jesus changed his life. Jesus changed his life. The guy walking and leaping and praising God, it was on the basis of faith in his name. Is on the power of the blood of Jesus. In fact, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb. We overcome. We draw nearer to the throne of grace on the basis of the blood, on the blood of Jesus through a new and living way, through his blood. It's cleansed our consciousness of sin. It's freed us. It's given us new life. Jesus shed his blood so we could have life. We could have life. And then lastly, and I'm done now, and I'm just scratching the surface on this, the power tools in the tool chest of our life, the keys to the kingdom on this ring, the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the word of our testimony, the word of God. Did you get encouraged by the testimony of the guy at the gate beautiful that got up and was running and leaping? Chief part of our testimony is Jesus and his work on the cross and the power we have in him. This gives you power to bind and loose. You need to learn to bind up every demonic thing and loose the power of God. A city like this needs people who have understanding, who are watchmen on the wall, who stand in the gap, who understand their authority. Even when you go through the pain of depression or the distraction that comes, the blasé feelings that try to wear you down and steal your joy. Listen, take hold of this. It's not even based on emotion, though it's exciting and you'll walk and leap and praise God occasionally. Because if you've ever had a sore knee, and when it gets better, man, that's a good thing. Those of us, you have struggled with a child, and then the child is prodigal and comes back to Jesus, that makes you happy. And you also don't judge anybody else anymore about parenting. You just go,
I know God who will help you with that. You got a boo-boo? God can fix that.
I mean, it's just the way it is. The Word of God is like the jaws of life. The Word of God will come in. Listen, the Word of God will come in on a situation. You can get the Word of God on a situation, and it could change your situation. This is what the Word says about this situation. This is what the Word says about my healing. This is what the Word says about my relationships. This is what the Word says about my church. This is what the Word says about my circumstances. My God shall supply all of my needs. You use this as a weapon. You draw the two-edged sword of the Spirit and you start hacking through the darkness. I have a friend named Mike. He used to play professional baseball and he was a catcher for many years. He was diving and he got caught in some fishing line, invisible monofilament fishing line. You know what he had on his leg? Yeah, a really cool knife. That's not a knife. This is a knife. And what did he do? Cut his way right through it, popped right back up to live another day. You are equipped. You've got the sword of the Spirit. Not just strapped on your thigh, you've got it in your mouth. Jesus is coming back with a sword in his mouth. The church that's effective must understand the power of the name of Jesus, the power of the blood of Jesus, the power of the Word of God. It's not just, I got to do some Bible reading because I'm a Christian and I got to read my Bible. No. His Word is life. His Word is life. Hallelujah. Let's all stand to our feet. I'm going to pray for you. Father, I pray blessing on everybody tonight. I pray strength and joy would be imparted into people's spirits. I pray in the name of Jesus for the initiation of signs, wonders, miracles, provision in people's lives. God, I pray joy would stir in hearts. Father, I pray a particular prayer for those who feel seized by the difficulties of life. And I pray they would experience chains falling off, prison bars pulling back, doors swinging open. With the key of the kingdom of the name of Jesus, we command every oppression, every darkness to lift. God, I pray for strength and security, calmness and joy to get down in people's souls. And I bind the oppression of the devil, obsessive, fear-oriented, dark, unfounded, unwarranted, deceptive things must fall off of people right now in the name of Jesus. I pray good marriages get better. I pray good relationships turn into an upswing of even better. I pray people's thought life and headspace would get filled with these principles of the kingdom, these amazing truths. Jesus, the authority, Jesus. God, with the jaws of life, I pray people get set free from the wreckage of life. With the chainsaw of your word, I come against all the barriers and hindrances, and we push it back, God, in the name of Jesus. God, I pray right now we put on some night vision goggles, and even though we look through a glass darkly, we're eventually going to see face to face. But right now, Lord, I pray for that light to come, that light, that insight. I pray when people are driving home, they get revelation in their car. I pray protection and safety on them. I pray everybody just has an amazing winter. I bind falls on black ice. I bind car accidents. I bind issues, plain things, all kinds of hassles and attacks. I pray protection on everybody in this church in Jesus' name. You're our good shepherd and your rod and your staff, they comfort us. Say this with me. God's not giving me a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, power tool people.